Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine living quietly on your 4 acres. Maybe you can't even see your neighbors through the trees.
Right, pretty peaceful.
Then suddenly, wham, your land gets annexed into the nearby city, and plans pop up for duplexes, apartments, single-family homes, basically surrounding you.
Yeah, that's a big shift. And that kind of dramatic change is, well, it's happening for some folks in Wisconsin.
And it's right at the heart of our deep dive today. We're digging into the front lines of housing development, specifically where cities are kind of spilling over into formerly rural towns.
And we're looking at a really insightful article that, zeroes in on how planning, zoning, annexation, how all that stuff creates conflict in these areas that are changing fast.
Exactly. So our mission here is to cut through the complexity, really try to understand the core dynamics. What are the big roadblocks to getting needed housing built? Why does it spark so much contention? And crucially, what are the perspectives of everyone involved? The cities, the towns, the developers, and yeah, the residents caught in the middle.
And the stage is definitely set for conflict. I mean, there's a clear, documented need for more housing across Wisconsin. That's not really in dispute.
Right.
But the actual process, deciding where and how land gets used, that runs headfirst into existing rules, established zoning, local government structures.
And that friction creates a lot of tension. You've got cities looking to grow their tax base, towns trying to, keep their character.
Developers needing projects to actually be viable financially, and then residents whose lives are directly impacted by all this. It's a real mix.
Okay, so let's jump into a specific example the article uses to kind of illustrate this clash. The Whitetail Woods Project in Altoona. This is on land, as you said, annexed from the neighboring town of Washington. Tell us about what's planned there.
So this project, it aims to pack quite a bit onto 64 acres. The plans include a mix. There's a senior living center, 0.114 duplex units, 4 separate multifamily apartment buildings, and also 54 single-family homes.
Wow, that's a lot of variety.
It is. And the article notes that groundbreaking is expected this year, with a full build-out happening, over the next decade or so.
And the article presents Whitetail Woods as like a perfect example of what development looks like now in a fast-growing county like Eau Claire.
Exactly. It reflects both the housing needs that are driving development and the realities of the current market.
Okay.
But what's key here, and really central to the conflict, is that this specific project needed a pretty significant chunk of land, annexed 122 acres total, taken from the town of Washington into the city of Altoona.
Right, 122 acres. And this is where the tension really ramps up, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because the article describes how some town of Washington residents responded to this annexation by, well, actually starting the pretty complex process to potentially incorporate the town into a village.
Yeah, that's a big step.
The stated goal, to try and legally block future annexations by surrounding cities. It's basically a defensive move, trying to keep control over their own borders and, their future.
And Altoona's planning director, Taylor Greenwell, he's quoted in the piece, he acknowledges it wasn't easy.
What did he say?
He said it was definitely contentious and mentioned the annexation process itself took 2 whole years, longer than they thought it would.
2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he added a quote that really kind of gets to the power dynamic here. The people most affected aren't happy about it. We understand that. That said, it's not their land.
Oof. That line feels pretty stark. It really highlights whose legal rights ultimately win out in this kind of scenario.
It does. It's blunt.
Right. And while that specific project and its local reaction are powerful, Whitetail Woods is really just one example of a much broader statewide issue, isn't it?
Absolutely. The numbers cited in the article from a Forward Analytics study are pretty striking. Wisconsin needs 140,000 housing units right now.
140,000. Now,
Now. And that demand is expected to balloon to 230,000 by 2030. That's a huge gap we're talking about.
and you can't look at that demand without looking at the economic pressures shaping how housing gets built today. The article points out rising costs, construction, land, labor.
Yeah.
It's all gone up.
Yeah, dramatically.
So in places like Altoona, but also other spots profiled like Manitowoc, Hobart, Door County, Vilas County, the cost of even a smaller, quote unquote, starter home is now well past $400,000.
Right, which is just not what people think of as a starter home price.
Not at all.
And that steep price point, it has a direct impact on developer strategy, according to the article.
Well, so.
Well, developers are finding more and more that to make a project financially viable today, they often need to include a mix of housing types, single family, duplexes, apartments, all in the same site.
So the old model doesn't work?
The traditional development patterns, like just building single family homes, often just don't pencil out anymore with current costs.
Yeah.
And while Wisconsin's overall population growth might flatten, Eau Claire County specifically is projected to keep growing, according to state estimates. So the pressure there is real.
And Altoona itself really shows that growth trend. It's highlighted as one of the fastest growing small cities.
Yeah.
What was it? A 12.2% population jump just between 2020 and 2024.
Yeah, that's significant growth.
And the article links part of that spurt to infrastructure, specifically the completion of the U.S. Highway 53 bypass back in 2006. Presumably made it easier to get to.
Likely, yeah. Better access often spurs growth.
So this brings us to a really critical point the article makes about land use law. This tension between a community's plan for the future and its actual zoning rules.
Right. And in the town of Washington, where that Whitetail Woods land originally was, the traditional zoning for residential areas was generally, you know, single-family homes on at least an acre. Pretty low density.
Okay. Big lots. Spread out.
Yeah.
And the developer's view, which Altoona's planning director relayed, was pretty clear-cut on that. That kind of zoning simply wouldn't fly financially, not with the market realities we just talked about.
Right. The numbers just wouldn't work.
So Altoona's strategy on these annex parcels was different. They applied different zoning. Within the city's own comprehensive plan, which, interestingly, includes land the city sees as potentially annexable from the town.
Uh-huh. They plan ahead for growth.
They changed the designation to something called Planned Neighborhood Type A. What does that mean?
The article explains this is a specific zoning category they have that's designed to allow for that necessary mix single-family, multifamily within a single development project. More flexibility.
Got it. And here's a key legal distinction the article points out, which might surprise some listeners, actually.
What's that?
Well, a comprehensive plan is the community's sort of big picture vision for future growth.
Right, the aspirational document.
The zoning code is the legal thing. It dictates what can actually be built on any given piece of land. And in Wisconsin, state law doesn't require a city's zoning code to perfectly match its comprehensive plan.
Yeah, that disconnect is a big deal and create a lot of uncertainty, as you can imagine.
For who? Developers.
Mostly, yeah. And the article notes Altoona is actually trying to address this right now. They're overhauling their entire zoning code, first time in over 50 years.
Wow.
Specifically to align it more closely with their current comprehensive plan.
Trying to bridge that gap.
Exactly. The planning director, Greenwell, is quoted saying they consider themselves development friendly and developers want certainty. His point is the ideal is having that alignment of the comprehensive plan and the zoning code to provide as many certainties as possible.
Okay, so that developer push for a certainty, for predictability, that leads directly into a legislative angle the article explores.
Right. There was a state hearing back in February where developers made a direct appeal to lawmakers on the Wisconsin Assembly's Committee on Housing and Real Estate.
And what were they asking for?
Their request was quite specific.
Yeah.
They want state legislation that would require all communities statewide to not only update their comprehensive plans regularly, but crucially, to actually align their zoning codes with those plans, make them match.
So make the vision legally binding, essentially.
Pretty much. Steve DeClean from Newman Companies, a developer, testified. He estimated that maybe as many as a third of communities don't really use their comprehensive plans effectively. He sees it as a major roadblock.
Okay.
He's quoted making a pretty pointed argument. He said, it's not a helpful document when people don't want it to be.
Mm.
And his suggested solution is, blunt. Make it a statutory requirement. Make comprehensive plans mean something. It's just truth in planning.
Truth in planning. That's the catchphrase.
That's the idea. If the plan is the vision, the zoning should legally reflect that vision. Provides predictability.
And Brad Boyx, who heads up the Wisconsin Builders Association, he was also at that hearing. The article says he expressed optimism that this requirement for plan zoning alignment would be part of a package of housing proposals they expect maybe this summer.
So there's movement on that front, potentially.
But even if state law changes, or, you know, cities like Altoona align their plans and zoning, that doesn't just erase the pushback you get from existing neighbors and towns, right?
Not at all. The article highlights how predictable that resistance is. Residents often fiercely resist rezoning that allows for higher density. It cites examples not just in Altoona, but also places like Germantown, Green Bay, Hudson. It's a common theme.
And the Linhams, the couple whose home on 4 acres in the town of Washington we mentioned at the start, they're a really powerful illustration of this.
Yeah, their story is quite something.
Their property will eventually be surrounded on three sides by this new Whitetail Woods development. They acknowledge in the article, you know, that Altoona's actions were legal, and they even said housing is needed.
Right. They get the bigger picture, to some extent.
But they clearly feel a sense of loss. They miss the time when, you know, they couldn't see neighbors from their property, just trees. The character is changing.
And Kim Linham offered a quote that really kind of frames the residents' perspective on what's driving all this.
What did she say?
She said, it's about the money. No question about that. Altoona for the tax base and the developer for the money. It's always about the money.
Hmm. That's a pretty cynical view, but maybe understandable from their position.
Yeah. And the article notes the Linhams were actually very, very organized. They used social media effectively to galvanize opposition. And they apparently tapped into existing frustration among town officials about annexation itself.
So it wasn't just them. They mobilized others.
Correct. And this resistance isn't isolated to just Whitetail Woods. The article mentions another fight over the Orchard Hills development, another big project on land, annexed from the County of Washington into Eau Claire this time.
Oh, right.
That fight went on for over 3 years before the first stage even got approved by the Eau Claire City Council. It just shows how long and difficult these conflicts can become.
3 years? That's a long battle.
It is. And the town of Washington's strategic response, as we touched on earlier, is pretty drastic.
Remind us what that was.
Town Chair Robert Solberg is quoted saying the town felt they had little choice but to file that petition last August to incorporate as a village.
To stop the bleeding, basically.
Exactly. His logic, as stated, is to avoid being whittled away piece by piece through these annexations from Altoona and Eau Claire. But incorporating is a huge process. It takes years, requires a town-wide referendum. It's yeah. not a quick fix.
So how does annexation even work in a way that lets cities grow into town areas like this? What's the mechanism?
Okay, so the article explains a key legal tool here. State law grants cities what's called extraterritorial zoning authority.
Right, extraterritorial zoning.
For larger cities like Eau Claire, that authority extends up to 3 miles from their border into unincorporated towns. For smaller cities like Altoona, it's 1.5 miles.
And why is that significant?
It's huge because it allows developers who choose to annex into a city access to city services, crucially. Things like municipal sewer and water.
Things towns often don't have or not at the same capacity.
Exactly. And those services are often essential for building the denser, mixed-use type developments that are often more financially viable today. So it creates a strong incentive to annex.
Okay, I see. And have there been attempts to sort of counter this city advantage?
Yes. The article mentions legislative attempts. There was a bill back in 2023 that proposed designating certain developed unincorporated areas as urban towns.
Urban towns? What would that do?
Well, the goal of that bill was basically to give towns that already have more urban characteristics the ability to incorporate more easily and essentially freeze their borders.
Make them less vulnerable to annexation by neighboring cities.
That was the idea.
And what happened with that bill?
The article notes it never actually made it to a vote, and apparently versions of it have kind of struggled to gain traction for years.
Okay.
And it also points out a potential downside, even if it did pass, that for communities that want to remain largely rural, but happen to be in growing areas, they could end up with development requirements designed for more urban places. And that could actually worsen the problem of unaffordable housing in those very towns. So, unintended consequences.
Right. Complex stuff. So, when we look at the whole picture painted by this article, it's clear this isn't just about building houses, is it? It's a really deep, complex clash.
Absolutely. It's different visions, its legal structures, economic realities all colliding.
You've got the documented need for housing, uh-huh. running into market forces that push developers toward denser, mixed projects.
Which then run into traditional town zoning and, you know, the desires of longtime residents to keep things the way they are.
And then you layer on these legal tools like annexation and extraterritorial zoning that give cities leverage.
Prompting towns to consider really drastic measures like incorporating just to hold their ground.
It really is a push and pull between growth and preservation, city power, and town autonomy.
Exactly. Mm. The article just lays bare this core tension.
Yeah.
How do you create predictable pathways for development that certainty developers keep asking for and meet this really pressing housing need?
Right.
When existing plans might be 50 years old, zoning doesn't match the vision, and state laws governing city-town borders actually create conflict.
all while trying to balance the perspectives of people, you know, longtime residents who are facing rapid fundamental change, literally in their own backyard.
The tough needle to thread.
Yeah. So that leads us to a final thought for you, the listener, to maybe chew on, drawn right from the insights in this article. The developers are calling for this truth in planning, a state law requiring communities to align their zoning with their comprehensive plans.
Mm-hmm.
But does that legal alignment, does it truly resolve the fundamental conflicts we've seen play out in places like Altoona and the town of Washington?
Or is the core tension, the underlying dynamic, maybe more like what that one resident suggested? Is it ultimately, you know, always about the money?
About the financial incentives driving city growth and developer strategy colliding head-on with the financial and personal impact on residents and towns.
Is truth in planning enough, or are the deeper economic and power dynamics just too strong?
Yeah. Something to ponder, maybe, as you look at how land is changing or not changing in your own community.